The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield. The Morning Answer is on.
Yes, we are ready to go for a Tuesday. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Back together again. We'll talk about that in a few moments, but of course...
The Answer. Breaking news.
Start with the breaking news, and just to bring you up to speed, because everybody has busy lives, you may have heard about a shooting at a school yesterday in the Nashville area. Police are still looking to investigate the shooting, but it was done by a biological female who identified as a transgender male. She went into a church, shot through the door, and proceeded to kill 3 9-year-old children, 3 adults. The shooter has been identified, as a 28-year-old resident in Nashville. Again, Audrey Hale, her name, and she went to the school.
She's not a her.
I'm sorry?
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for her.
No, she's a biological her. She identified as a man.
She's a biological. See, this is the problem with this. I get so confused over who is what, and so she's a male that went in, or female.
No, she's a biological female.
She's a biological female.
So she's a her.
Okay.
But she identified as a him.
And she identified as a him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's
so, no,
and
for accuracy,
I'm reading article after article,
that's
and I'm getting more confused. And then when they say they're a transgender male.
Right, because she's a transgender male, meaning she identifies as a male.
I can't take it
anymore. In any case, and we'll get to all that. There's a lot more. But the Nashville PD says that she did leave behind this very lengthy manifesto. It's now being revealed that she made phone calls to her friends to say what she was going to do. She attended this school in Nashville, the Covenant Christian School. And what is it? Is it the transgender thing that was going on in Nashville? Motives will be searched for, I am sure. But here's a little bit from the many press conferences held yesterday by Nashville PD.
Update from today's press conference. We've identified the shooter as Audrey Hale, a 28-year-old female that lived in the Nashville area. We have investigations ongoing now at the residence on Brightwood Avenue. And we have made contact with the father that lived at that residence and are putting together more information. We've also determined there were maps drawn of the school in detail of surveillance, entry points.
The mother came out to Grant this morning, I heard, and said apparently her social media profile was riddled with gun control, banned magazines, all of this. A bit ironic since it was her daughter that opened fire and took the lives of these babies and 3 adults.
So, you know, again, we've got to start figuring out how do you harden these targets. And the police chief there in that news conference glossed over something that I think was so very, very important.
I heard it, too. I don't even know if he glossed it. I feel like he said it on purpose, actually.
So I hope he said it on purpose. The mainstream media has not really wanted to cover it much. But what he said was that there was another target in mind, but this shooter skipped over that target because security was too tight.
Yeah, which is what people have been saying for years, what we have been saying for years, that you've got to start protecting these schools. It was reported that the doors were not open. That's not true. The doors were actually locked. But one of the doors to the church was a glass door, and now you can see the surveillance video of her shooting through the glass and just walking right in, which is how she got entrance into the facility. Lot of stuff to unpack here. The targets, yes, I think that's number one. What are we doing with people who are asking and screaming for help and we just ignore it? I think one of the biggest pieces of this story will be that this girl or this woman was so public, obviously. She called her friends the day before and said, hey, guys, I'm going out. Like, did anybody try to say anything? I think there's got to be some questions answered there. Did the parents know what was going on?
Two of the guns, at least two, were bought legally from what I read. I don't know about the third. So then again, you get into the issue of, what gun control measure would have stopped this. We've got to stop focusing on how you prevent the shooters from doing their evil deeds early on. That can't be the sole focus. We've got to focus on how you stop them the moment they engage or prevent them from coming into a potential target. That's what has to be focused on. And Jen, you know, we go through this over and over again. And how many times have we said, these little private schools, Uvalde, the middle of nowhere, these schools are just as in danger as any big school. And it is amazing because
maybe
when you think
more
about
so.
It. Yeah, I think so, because there's not a lot of mass shootings you see in large public schools or inner cities. One of the reasons for that is, what do inner city schools have? You got to go through metal detectors. You got one door in, one door out. Now, they do it for gang activity, not the mass shooter, right? They don't want the kids bringing guns to school. But it works, and that's why you don't see mass shootings in these big inner city schools.
The thing that I will say, I guess if you're looking at one of the silver linings here, and one of the nice things that we can say about this horrific accident is that so far I've been completely impressed, and maybe you have too, Grant, with the Nashville Police Department. It seems that they have been acting quickly, that they've been releasing information quickly. The fact that they had conversations after Uvalde and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, where both of those used kind of old-fashioned measures of just waiting until the gunfire stopped to clear classrooms. These two police officers who rushed into the building, and she apparently had set up, I guess she walked through the church. She took out the pastor's daughter, I believe, and then she went up the stairs to the classroom. She encountered two other adults and then the three children up there. She set up a perch, it looks like she was trying to shoot down at the officers once they arrived on scene, which was quick. The whole thing was over in 14 minutes from first call to end of event, basically. But these two police officers just ran in. They didn't make a perimeter. They didn't stop to wait. They didn't look for orders, which we heard about in Uvalde. We heard about that at Marjorie Stoneman. They went in, and now they're identifying these officers. Police Chief John Drake yesterday said that Rex Engelbert, an officer, and Officer Michael Collazo were the two who entered into that school, fatally wounding her and stopping what was just insanity.
So,
but they've been doing a good job, I think.
So I think Uvalde was the rare case of shooters not going in, especially after Parkland, when you had that idiot deputy who was refusing to go in. And then you go all the way back to Columbine. We know the protocol's changed since then. And I do think Uvalde was a rare situation. But these officers were super brave. And you know what else it proves, and it should prove to the left, but they won't talk about it, that good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. And the sooner you have a good guy with a gun nearby, the sooner that bad guy will be stopped. And so why aren't we doing a better job of protecting our children? We protect our banks. We protect our politicians. We protect our entertainers. We protect our athletes. All these venues are protected. You can't go into the Forum without a metal detector and cops everywhere. Why can't we protect our kids?
Yeah, and how many of these do we have to hear about over and over again? The fact that this pathetic individual decided that one school was too secure for her to attack, so she went to another, one she attended herself, by the way. When we hear that, how we don't take the lesson that these people who are so-called mass shooters, they're scared. They're trying to make some sort of statement, and so they go in after the most vulnerable. And if we don't start hardening our targets, especially around schools, it's exhausting to have these conversations. It must be exhausting to be a parent worry about this over and over and over again.
In Dallas, one of these victims, the pastor who died. The daughter, who is the daughter of a pastor who died. That pastor worked in Dallas at a church very local to me. A lot of parents were on a group text. Knowing the pastor, knowing the daughter, and I guess they had just left Dallas to go there. And this little girl was just like the cutest little thing. So
heartbreaking, heartbreaking. And to, you know, I don't, parents, how it happens right now, I don't even know. The stress, because you just never know. You know, you kiss your kids goodbye. I guess that's true with any of us, but it's just a rough time. And if we don't get really serious about how to protect our kids.
You know, the other topic that really needs to be talked about is, so how is the mainstream media going to cover this story? Because
they probably
you've got
won't
a gun
anymore.
Control zealot who's a transgender male dressed up as a female.
And it's worth noting that Nashville just passed some transgender transitioning laws.
Yeah.
Or Tennessee, excuse me.
Yeah. So, look, how are they going to cover this? Are they going to be honest about it? It's not the NRA guy. It's not the Proud Boy. It's a transgender male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only how will the media cover this, but how did Joe Biden cover this yesterday? Maybe the most appalling day at the White House so far. We'll have the details for you if you missed it. All as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Heard on radios, smartphones, and home speakers everywhere. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us. It is a Tuesday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And the school shooter yesterday, transgender, Audrey Hale, 28 years old, born biologically female, identified as a boy, Aiden. It's unclear whether or not she was taking male hormones. Who knows if that'll be part of the conversation? Probably not, because it will disappear at some point. But allegedly, she had this huge manifesto that police confirmed, actually. So I shouldn't say allegedly. Police confirmed she had a manifesto with surveillance, with photos, with maps essentially drawn out of a couple of different locations. She chose the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, to attack about 10:30 a.m. local time in Nashville. And she did it because it was easier to get into. It was less of a hard target than whatever other school she was looking at as well. But before going to the school, she sent a final message to a friend, Averyana. You okay? Are you blowing up a balloon?
Sorry.
Averyana Patton on Instagram. I guess they had played middle school basketball together and were still friends. She said, so basically that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note. I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll
yes.
probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life. Audrey, and then in parentheses, Aiden. Now, there's actually a little bit more. So this girl writes back, Audrey, you have so much more life to live. I pray God keeps and covers you. She writes back, I know, but I don't want to live. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to die. I wanted to tell you first because you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen and known all my life.
So, look, it becomes clear that this person is troubled, as they all are. But it's interesting, you know, I'm looking at the headlines here. New York Times, how rare is it for a woman mm-hmm. to commit a mass shooting? Now, that doesn't fit the
MO
model.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the model would be that if you identify as a man, you're a man.
Yeah.
You identify as a woman, you're a woman. So why are they now acknowledging that this is a woman?
It's a really interesting point.
When they don't acknowledge that Leah Thomas is a woman,
mm-hmm.
they don't acknowledge that. But they just acknowledge that the mass shooter is? I mean, honestly, it confuses me.
I think it's because the police from the beginning came out and identified this person as a woman. And maybe that had something to do with it, because as soon as that happened, then you had everybody start to look up, well, how many times have we had female school shooters, female mass shooters? And the answer the Daily Mail put up there is only 5 times, I guess, in at least the more modern part of our history, have women gone into schools and opened fire.
You know, here's USA Today. How often are women mass shooters?
Yeah.
Very rare. But again, I agree that it's a woman. You agree that it's a woman. It was never up for debate for us. But it most certainly was up for debate with them. So, which I think is what confused me this morning when I was reading these, that I was just assuming that the mainstream media would portray this person as whoever they identified as.
Right. No. Biological. And, you know, it was kind of, I did a little deep dive yesterday as this story was unfolding, and they were talking about her Instagram. So I went to her Instagram. It had been taken down. I don't know if she deleted it or if officials deleted it before they even released her name. But I went to her website. Grant, she had, like any 28-year-old, she had like AudreyHale.com. I can't remember what the website was that I found, but she was a graphic designer and a commercial artist. It seemed like she was pretty good at it. I mean, she had some of her artwork up on the website. Contact me for quotes and all that stuff. It is very bizarre how this, like something turns inside someone and they think that they're capable of this. And I think the point that the media is making is especially a female. It is really unusual for a female to choose to walk in and start shooting at little kids. It's really unusual. But I think part of the conversation needs to be, was she part going through a transition? Were hormones already being administered? What was going on with her mental state? What did her parents know? And what was the situation? Now, did you see President Biden's reaction? I know you were traveling yesterday.
Yes, so I was. My flight was delayed. You know, I was shooting that rap video.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent some time in Florida. I got to see the president. We could talk about that a little later. It's an important topic. So my flight was delayed. But so in essence, what happened was I got to read a lot of news. 4 hours sitting in the Admiral's Club, you get to
just sucking it all in, right?
Yeah.
Well, I had the, you know, you had the TV. I had the TV on yesterday while I was kind of, you know, putzing around my desk and listening to the coverage of this. And it was around noontime when I think it was Sandra Smith. Maybe it was already transitioning into Martha McCallum on Fox News. And I've never seen someone like visually stunned like that. on the television. They said, we're going now to the White House. We hear President Biden is going to start his scheduled remarks with remarks about this shooting in Nashville. And you see Biden go to the stage, and this happens.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding. I'm not. God. Ben, how are you, pal? One of the best guys in the United States Congress, Ben Cardin. Folks, welcome to the White House. It's a delight to have you all here. And who are those good-looking kids back there? They're your kids, all four of them? Well, stand up, guys.
It was at this point where Fox News actually goes, we can't believe that this is the president's reaction, so we're going to come back if he talks about the shooting. And they pan out and go to something else.
They did. They cut back, and I almost was upset with them for cutting back because I think the nation needed to see what an out-to-lunch, unempathetic dementia patient this president really is. They needed to watch this unfold as you have three children dead, three adults dead, a transgender male is accused of being the shooter, and he decides that he's going to go off about kids in the crown and the best
and
in
the
Congress
and
chocolate chip ice cream and how much he's got up in the...
And he looked bad. He was like, I happened to be watching this because my mom was helping me at work yesterday. She comes in once a week and does like filing and stuff. That's the life of a retiree. And so she was watching this. I've talked about this before. She is a Biden supporter. And even she was cringing. His eyes were vacant, going all over the place. And then he switches gears into this. It was almost like something snapped. But then he says this.
And we have to do more to protect our schools so they aren't turned into prisons. You know, the shooter in this situation reportedly had two assault weapons.
He then went on, and I wish we had the clip, but we cut it too long. He called them AK-47s.
Were they or not?
No.
I don't know.
I think one was an AR-15, one was a handgun and something else.
Yeah.
But he said this shooter has two AK-47s. And then he goes straight into, like, just launches into the speech. Thank you all for having me. I mean, it was like three different versions.
But he says we need to protect our schools but not turn them into prisons.
Right.
So, again, they don't want to actually do what's necessary to protect the school. Look, if the kids go into class, what do you care whether the doors you can't get in or out?
You know what I would say? How many mass shootings happen in prisons, Mr. President?
That's a good one.
Do not write that down.
That is a good one.
855-785-8255.
How many mass shootings happen in prisons?
Your thoughts on this. 855-785-8255.
She's good, this one.
We'll have more details.
She's good.
As your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Freedom of speech lives here. It's the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Back together again. It was,
oh, yeah.
We missed you around here.
Well, I was just gone Friday and Monday. It wasn't that
long.
But we
still missed you.
Well, I didn't really miss you guys. I didn't really. I mean, look, when you go on vacation, you have a nice time. What am I really going to miss doing work? I was sleeping in a little bit. I wake up looking at the ocean.
Sounds
I got
horrible.
Sunburned. I had a great trip. I saw President Trump.
All right, so what did he have to say? Give us that scoop before we jump back into the
sad. Oh, he's just so mad about Alvin Bragg. I mean, honestly, what President Trump said to me was nothing that you hadn't heard him say at his rally. And the funniest thing is when he literally looks me in the eye, and it's you know, just me and, you know, a couple of my friends might be standing behind me listening to him talk to me, you know. He's telling me this as if I've never heard him say it. You know, that Alvin Bragg is out of control and the arrest is illegal and that all these things and that their vote was stolen and it's rigged. Like, he literally tells me this. And
him if he paid hush money to Stormy Daniels?
What's that?
Did you ask him if he paid hush money to Stormy?
No, but I will tell you a funny story. So mm-hmm. I see him Friday. So my son calls me on Saturday, but he had the event in Waco on Saturday.
Right.
Which I think we'll get to play some clips. Well, you did that yesterday.
We did it yesterday. But yeah, we have President Trump on Sean Hannity, which was really enlightening. So we've got some of that, too, to talk about.
So my son says, Dad, did you ask him the question?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, buddy, you know, I was only with him for a minute. I may see him on Sunday, but I forgot the question. He said, what's inside Area 51? Is the question my son wants me to ask Donald Trump. So I said, buddy, he says, Dad, I know you're going to say he's not going to tell you, but you need to tell him I won't tell anyone.
Oh, that's a good one. I said, okay. I won't say anything trick.
I will do that. I will do it. So unfortunately, I didn't get to see him again, and I didn't get to ask. But I told my son I would ask, and I thought
I
it would be
that's pretty funny. He probably
quite
laughed.
A funny story. To,
yeah.
I won't tell anyone.
I won't. But he told me to tell you I won't say anything.
Right.
Our little secret.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, in more serious news, and we'll hear more about Grant's trip and some of the stuff he was up to, but tributes from local pastors, from church members, they've been pouring in to Covenant Presbyterian Church School. That was the site, if you're just joining us, of the school shooting yesterday. 9 people in total were killed, 3 of them adults, 3 of them children, just about 9 years old. Haley Scruggs was one of them. And Grant, you said you have a connection to her. She's the daughter of a pastor, right, among victims in the Nashville school shooting who, I guess, did they move from Dallas to Florida or to Tennessee, or was it the other way around?
Yeah, recently, too. And so he was a pastor at one of the local churches here. Mm-hmm. I've got a very, very dear friend who's on a group text with some of the moms that knew him. And, you know, obviously they were so sad about what happened to this poor little girl. I mean, just from
only
what
nine,
I didn't and, see the ugh, pictures of her.
She is sweet.
But from what I'm told, the pictures were just, she's just the cutest little thing in the world. And, you know, can you imagine you're a pastor, you leave one church, go to another
mm-hmm.
Christian-based organization, and the next thing you know, you got a transgender, anti-gun, pro-gun control loon coming into the school to shoot it up. That skipped by another school, by the way, because the other school had too much security.
Yep. It's pretty unbelievable. And the coverage of this, I don't know if you saw this either. Again, this was kind of an all-day thing yesterday. A lot of coverage around this. It was really, it dominated all of the news cycles. But there was this this gun activist who interrupted the briefing. Did you see this? As it started to end, and Nashville PD did a really good job. They gave multiple briefings yesterday. This happened, I think, after the second one.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park, Illinois. My son and I survived a mass shooting over the summer. I am in Tennessee on a family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws. And these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation.
So, you know, I feel for that woman. I really do. And what she's saying about demanding that we protect our kids is 100% correct. The problem is she's going about it all the wrong way. Mm-hmm. We know there's anywhere between 350 and 400 million guns in America. You're never going to take them all off the streets. I'm not giving my guns up, so you know a criminal's not going to give their guns up. So let's just come to the reality that the guns are not going to be given up in America. We have a Second Amendment that makes them 100% legal. The Second Amendment says my right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So it's not going away unless you change the Second Amendment. And it's not going away anyway because you're never going to get all the guns off the streets.
Well, that's just that's just it. You're not going to get the bad guys to give up their guns. Why force the good guys to do it?
So what you have to do in order to protect the children is literally harden everything around them. You've got to put good guys with guns around them. You've got to make sure your schools are hardened. Look, you had glass doors here. I wouldn't recommend glass doors on any school. Of course, you're going to be able to shoot out the glass doors. Mm-hmm. Now, why didn't somebody think about this? After every single school shooting we've had people come in and where you have a vestibule system. Yes, it's like a prison. You come in one door, it locks behind you, then the next doors open up. I understand that in this lollipop guild world that everybody wants to live in, that is an inconvenience. But what's more of an inconvenience, planning your kid's funeral?
Yeah.
Or having to wait in the vestibule?
And our school, I remember, and this was years ago before it was so prevalent that people talked about mass shootings like this, especially in schools. Our school had that system. It was like one set of big doors, and then there was like a little bit of a hallway with bathrooms, but then another big set of doors before you actually got into the main part of the school. The thing is, it is not going to traumatize people to have security guards on campus. I'm so sick of the notion that they think it's going to traumatize kids to see someone who is there protecting them. It's not like the person is going to be sitting, smoking a cigar, holding a rifle on the outside of the school. You're going to have guards who are there who are trained to be on school campuses. This idea on the left, I don't know what they're picturing, like Rambo standing in front of the school, Grant.
Who cares?
You know what I'm saying, though? But it's like, I think that they're saying, well, that's going to scare the kids. It's going to take away their innocence. No, what's going to take away their innocence is being attacked because you've got doors that are open and you have no good guys with guns on campus to protect them.
I'll go back to, and I always bring this up, the shooting in Dave and Buster's when I was there with my son. Okay? Mm-hmm. A potential mass shooting. It was a shooting. It wasn't a mass shooting. Long story short, I was able to run towards the shooter to protect my son because I was carrying a firearm. Now, if it was a mass shooting and the shooter was moving through Dave and Buster's, I would have to flee the area. I would not be able to protect my son. Everyone would be at the mercy of the shooter. But instead, because I'm carrying a firearm, I have the confidence to move forward towards the shooter to protect not just my son, but everybody. But I'll tell you what, honestly, my number one priority was my son.
Of course.
That's all I had in my mind. I've got to get the shooter before. Now, the gangbangers that shoot open the glass doors at Dave and Buster's over a stuffed animal, a fight over a stuffed animal, fled through the parking lot. So it wasn't a mass shooting, but it could have been. Now, just pretend it was, and nobody inside has a firearm.
Right.
Nobody. Now, you on the left, you guys are idiots if you think, oh, we'll call the police. Do you know how long 15 seconds is for someone with a firearm?
Mm-hmm.
It could kill 15, 20 people in 15 seconds.
The quicker the response, the better. And if you have someone there who can make that response for you, it's what you want. It gives you everybody the best chance.
It's so upsetting. You know, when I worked for the NRA, we had an organization or a program called Operation School Shield.
Mm-hmm.
It was 100% free to schools. Most schools would not take us up on Operation School Shield. We had Secret Service members. We had local police, SWAT team members. We had giant crews that would come into your school, do an assessment of it, tell you what you need to do to harden the target. And if you wanted to arm teachers, we would offer up a solution for that too. But that wasn't the number one solution. The number one solution was to tell you where your threats are, where your weaknesses are, and fix it. But no school would take us up on it. You know why, Jen? Because of three letters, NRA. Can't have them coming in a school.
No. It's a bad look.
So disgusting.
855-785-8255 as we continue. We'll get Dr. G. Sebastian Gorka will be with us to chime in on this. And, of course, Biden's reaction. All as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
breaking news and expert commentary. This is The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Back together again. Grant, back at it with us here on The Morning Answer. And it is Tuesday. That means it's time to welcome in our friend, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And Daniel, you're going to have to punch the phones. Don't forget, we have our mouse problem in the studio. Dr. G is the host of America First. You can listen to him on AM 870 at 12 noon, 8 p.m., AM 590. The Answer always at sebastiangorka.substack.com. And, of course, on any social media platform, Rumble, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Truth, you name it, at Seb Gorka. Dr. G, good morning to you.
What's going on in the studio, guys?
You know, okay, so let me just, Grant doesn't even know this.
Okay.
So I walked in yesterday. And it was like somebody like rented out our lovely Morning Answer studio for like some sort of party over the weekend. I mean, there were no monitors on the desk. There, like, everything was like wiped clean. So Dan Dan, producer man, had to come in here and lickety split hook everything up. And yesterday, the mouse that controls my phone caller board sort of started to die out. And now it's only working on one screen, but not the other. It's very strange. There's just a lot happening in here. So I don't have
the
normal controls. Well, that's – Dan's got some sort of excuse, I'm sure. Hi, Dan.
An excuse? I was here to take full responsibility for it. The monitors are swapped. So now if you, like, go to the right side, it's the left side or something. So I'll fix it for you.
Dr. G, you happy you called in?
Aren't you glad you asked, Seb?
Yeah, this makes my Tuesday morning.
All right, well, it's unfortunately kind of a sad Tuesday morning. No one wants to see the story that we saw in Nashville yesterday. But Seb, I have to get your reaction to this first, because I have not been more disgusted with this like since Afghanistan. I have not felt the disgust and the pit in my stomach of our lack of absolute leadership in the White House when they go to President Biden, who's supposed to, and I'm just calling him Chairman Joe because I can't. They go to him and they are expecting some sort of statement on the shooting in Nashville, and they get this.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream.
It went on from there. But it's atrocious. Seb, what did you think when you saw this?
Just two questions. Is he senile or is he evil? Does he have no soul? I mean, how... It's bad for a radio host to be dumbstruck. But really? I mean, he knows. He knew that the children had been murdered because he talks about it later. Mm-hmm. So he knows what's happened in Nashville, and he jokes about ice cream. And the other thing, I think I heard this on a caller on Mike Gallagher's show this morning. You know, the really creepy thing is that the SEALs in the room laugh with him.
I know.
Everybody knows what's happened, and they're laughing with him. Doesn't that tell you what the Democrat Party has become?
You know, just quickly here, and I know Grant's going to jump in, but Daniel, Dan Dan producer man, has noticed that anytime Biden opens his mouth now, he has almost like an old sitcom style laugh track that comes out. It's almost like someone standing over his shoulder with like an applause sign. And it's really weird. He'll say something completely not funny or inappropriate, and yet people still laugh and encourage him around him. And I don't understand why that's happening.
Because it has become this collectivist cult. I mean, think about it. The name a Democrat for me who's prepared to go against the collectivist Borg-like hive mind that is the Democrat Party. You don't have to like Bill Clinton, but at least he reined in the crazies. Who's reining in the crazies today on the left? Nobody. It wasn't Nancy. It's not Chuck. It's nobody. There's nobody left. It has become a cult that believes men can become women and women can become men, and that guns are dangerous in and of themselves as inanimate objects.
You know, I was noticing, and I was actually surprised by this. The shooter was clearly a woman dressed up as a man, transgender. All of the mainstream media outlets, at least the ones I'm looking at the headlines, acknowledge this. So the New York Times, how rare is it for a woman to commit a mass shooting? USA Today, how often are women mass shooters? You know, if they think that men can have babies and that I'm just shocked that they're describing her as a woman and not calling her a man because that's what she wanted to be.
Well, look, here's the prediction I made yesterday night coming home from the studio. There's two possibilities in the next couple of days. Number one, this story, because the murderer is, you know, a transgender individual, will be memory hold. And in the spirit of Orwell, it will be deleted and we won't talk about it. As, you know, we don't talk about the five previous trans mass shootings that have occurred in recent years. Or, and we're seeing this already, signs of it, the mainstream media will start talking about not the 8-year-old and the 9-year-olds who were murdered, but will turn the trans killer into the victim. That's what their ideology will force them to do.
They're going to say that the Tennessee laws going after transitioning young children somehow drove this person, and this is going to become a sympathetic figure. And then are we going to see copycats? Because I think that's the next step in all of this. It's disgusting. And said the other thing that I'd really like to know is how far into the transgender process was she? Because already we know that people who feel like they don't belong in their body are suffering with mental illness, right? So if that's a piece of this, and then you start throwing hormones and things that can really shift your state of mind, your mood, your depression, all of the darkness that can come along with hormonal shifts, believe me, I think there are probably women out there shaking their head right now knowing what I'm talking about. Is this a recipe for disaster? And is this going to be the new normal now that we're incentivizing this so much and more people are going down this track?
Well, on the first issue, I just want to, you know, make a statement to all my conservative buddies. Newsweek actually headlined this story today. They are linking Tennessee's banning of, you know, transgender insanity and drag queen shows for children. They're linking it to this event. And if you're a I've got buddies, I've got former White House colleagues who write for Newsweek. If you're writing for Newsweek as a conservative, you are writing for the enemy. So number one, let's not help the other side to demonize those who believe in science. Secondly, let's talk about the truth of transgenderism. Number one, Jordan Peterson is right. This is the only mental condition. It is a mental condition. It's called body dysmorphia, where we affirm the mental problem. We don't say to anorexics, yeah, I agree with you. You're 90 pounds in weight, but you need to vomit up every meal. We don't do that. We don't say to schizophrenics, yes, you've got two personalities. Congratulations. Why do we do it to people who think they're in the wrong body? And then lastly, the lie about how we're saving children by allowing them to transition. Between 42 and 52% of those who transition try to kill themselves. Let's stop the insanity now and let's talk truthfully about it.
Well, you know, obviously that needs to happen. The mainstream media will never start to bring truth about it. And just as you mentioned, Seb, I think what you're going to see is this story just fades away. And now reports that this person had anti-gun postings and pushing gun control
the
on social media.
Yeah, her mother
The mother, rather. Yeah. This story will disappear quicker than you can imagine.
Well, yes, and you know, the fact that allegedly, according to some postings, she announced in advance that she's going to kill today and that she's going to be killed today. So again, I mean, look, the signals were there. They weren't picked up as they should have been, but I want to do one thing. I want to salute that handful, I think it was two or three officers.
It was two.
Who
amazing.
Arrived within minutes of the event, and they did the opposite of Uvalde. They don't sit around for 70 minutes, you know, sanitizing their hands with a hand sanitizer dispenser in the corridor. They went in, they found the killer, and they dealt ultimate justice to her. That is what law enforcement should do, and we salute them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of the only silver lining of this story is, I think, how well the Nashville PD handled this. They apparently had conversations beforehand, said they weren't going to be Uvalde, and these two young officers just went right in and did what they needed to do. And also, even in the follow-ups, that they've been very forthcoming and giving a lot of updates and using the right biology and all of this. So I think if we're going to give any accolades in this situation, the Nashville police definitely deserve it, for sure.
Yeah, we salute them. That's how you do it. And I mean, how many lives were saved? We saw the footage afterwards of the children, the dozens and dozens of children being let out of the school. Those officers saved untold lives yesterday of children.
Dr. G, you always put it in perspective for us. Thank you so much. Don't forget, he's going to be coming to town. The Unite IE Conservative Conference is coming up on April 29th. Dr. G will be there headlining on our main stage. Make sure you get your tickets right now, am590.info, am590.info. That's April 29th. Get your tickets. Tables are already selling out. And don't forget to listen to America First today, 12 noon on AM 870 and 8 p.m. AM 590, The Answer. And follow him everywhere, at Seb Gorka. Dr. G, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Be a cool kid. Join us. Be there or be square.
There you go. All right. As we continue, we will continue to update you all throughout the morning on this shooting, of course, going on in Nashville, Tennessee. Dan, yeah, there you go, Dan. Make sure we get our phones right. We also have an update for you on a migrant facility that burned down, killing massive amount of people, 37 people overnight. The details on that as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.